Scripture reading for this afternoon comes from the New Testament book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Again, this afternoon's scripture comes from the New Testament book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patient. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, and not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed.
Good afternoon. It is good to see you. Hope you had a good afternoon. Hope you did. Got something to eat. Came on back. It's great to see you. You have your Bibles? You there in Titus chapter 2? Yes? All right. Let's talk about it. God didn't just give us a church. He didn't just give us a Bible. He equipped his church to carry out the things that he wants done. And training and teaching is one of those things. Before I go further, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you would consider yourself an older person? I don't need to see it. Oh, unless you want to show it, then by all means. You know how y'all get about y'all's ages. Older people. Yes? That's not a trick question, although it might seem like it later. I don't mean for it to be. Just want you to think about that. So many churches, and so frequently in the brotherhood, our focus is on children. There are children ministries. In fact, people are looking for congregations to attend. That's one of the most important things to them. What's in it for the children? We have youth activities. We make sure we do. What are my youth going to do? We have youth ministries, youth ministers. Individuals actually go to school to learn how to be a youth minister. Whole congregational curriculum, sometimes huge sections of the brotherhood, are focused on children. Interestingly, the Bible doesn't take that approach. It's noticeably absent, that emphasis, in the New Testament church. What is the emphasis? It takes an entirely different tact. We'll talk about it this afternoon. It actually talks more about the children's parents than it does the children. In fact, it focuses the attention on their parents. Very specifically, those individuals who raise their hands as older, it talks to you about helping their parents. Let me give you the conclusion now. If you want to help the children, then help their parents become faithful, Christ-like Christians. The text opens by saying, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." As good Bible students, what you want to do sometimes, and I'll just suggest this to you that you do it, when you're reading through the New Testament and you're concerned, you're trying to figure out what the church is to do, you read through the New Testament and then step back and look at what the church does. Look at what you see and know and have experienced from congregations. And then what you want to do is see whether or not what we do is what you're reading. And if what you're reading is not what we're doing, it's not the reading that's the problem. We'd have to change the doing. I would like to suggest to you this afternoon that we, inside of these walls, begin to change the doing on this subject. The reason I suggest that to you, well, there are several. Here's one. Not every passage in the New Testament equally applies to every person. Here's what I mean by that. There is a passage in your Bible that says, "Husbands, love your wives." Is that a command? Any husbands in the building? What are you obligated to do? What if I don't have a wife? You have the obligation, but I don't. Is that right? There's a passage in your Bible that says, wives, see that you reverence your husband. Any wives in the building? What are you obligated to do? Anybody here without a husband? Guess what you're not obligated to do? You're not obligated to reverence your husband. You see, this goes on through the Bible. Elders, feed the flock of God, which he has made you overseers. What if I'm not an elder? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What if I'm not a father? You see, not every passage applies. Here's the other side of that. What should you do when you find yourself inside of a category that the scriptures specifically address? Shouldn't you then, and shouldn't I, give heed to that section of scripture? Isn't it then incumbent upon me? We might say absolutely essential that if I'm in the category, to make sure I'm doing precisely what God has told me to do. Yes, no, maybe so. Brings us to Titus chapter 2. 4 or 5 points we want to make out of these 5 verses. And this then is not for everybody. It's not then a passage that's universally applied for. I ask who would consider themselves an older person, and not everybody raised their hand. Somebody did. And while we preach sermons to young people sometimes, it is important that we do that. It is equally important that we preach sound doctrine. And this section of scripture happens to be about those of us who are older people. We first find the candidates in verse number 2, the first part. Speak thou the thing which becomes sound doctrine, older men. Verse number 3, older women. So the candidates about whom he's talking, he has specified. The older men and the older women are those individuals who are in play in this section of scripture. Brings us to the next point then. They are to teach, and he specifies the kind of character they're to possess. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women are to likewise to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. If I then am an older person, a man or a woman, God has called me to have a certain kind of character and disposition because he wants me to teach. We have then, first of all, the candidates, their character, and he spells out the curriculum. It's always interesting to me when I hear older people say, these young people, we need to do this for them, we need to do that for them. And by young people, typically they're talking about children. They're talking about adolescents. They're talking about high school people and what we need to do for them and how the church is falling down and the church is losing our young people. Have you read that yet? It's not in here. And so we come up with classes and we try this thing and that thing. Listen, God spells out the curriculum, and he spells out the class. He outlines it. Someone ought to teach her. Someone ought to teach him. This is one of the things that happens. First of all, we miss the candidates. We miss who the class is. First of all, we're down there with the babies. We want to make sure they're taught. So the church needs to do this. That's not even the right group. But then secondly, we often miss the curriculum. And then thirdly, we miss the teacher. You know who ends up teaching these people? Preachers. You know from where? Pulpits. It's always amazing to me that people want preachers to tell women how to be wives, how to be good mothers. No, God has a group of people to do that. You know who they are? Women who have been good wives and mothers. Doesn't that sound like it's just right? What's the curriculum? Begin in verse number 4. So they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. There is the class and the curriculum. That's who's supposed to do that. I've never been a woman. I've never been a mother. I don't know what it's like to carry a baby. I don't know what it's like to deliver a baby. I don't know what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night and to nurse a baby. I don't know what it's like when your husband goes to work and you're left at home alone with little people who can't talk to you. I don't know what it's like to sit there amongst the chaos and ruin that is your house and be obligated and responsible to care for someone every single second. I don't know the level of fatigue. I don't know the frustration. And I don't know what happens to your mind when they put this day on loop like Groundhog Day, and it's the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. I don't know what it's like when the doorbell rings and the man, your husband, comes across the threshold and all you want to do is give him the baby and he says to you, hold up, I need some time. You need some time. I don't know what it's like to restrain yourself in that moment and say, let me tell you who needs the time, sir. I don't know what that's like. Who do you suppose would? Hello? There are some younger women who are mothers struggling at being mothers, at being new wives. Some young woman wakes up in a home with a man. She's never had one of these before. She may or may not have been in the closet on her wedding night, scared to come out. Now she is a wife. What goes into that? I have no idea. Who would? Who would know what that's like? There's some older women who've been down that road who could say to her, honey, let me talk to you. Let me teach you how to do this thing that you're now called upon to do. Let me talk to you regularly about how to love your husband in light of all of these new challenges you have. Let me talk to you about how to be a good mother and how to lead a wife, how to keep your home. How God spells out the curriculum. You know what the church does? It sets the curriculum aside and tells the preacher to tell those women to get in line. Amen. Amen, plant. See, I know what I'm reading and then I know what we do, and they're not the same. But they need to be. They need to be. The curriculum is spelled out. Curriculum is also spelled out for the men. Verse number 6. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. Ooh, there's some young wife saying, I wish somebody would urge him to be sensible. In all things, he says, showing yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound speech, he says, which is beyond reproach. Sober-minded, good works, uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Somebody needs to tell that young man, when you come home, relieve your wife. Give her a break. Don't go take one for yourself. Somebody needs to tell that. Who would know that? Some husbands, older men who came in and took a break and then realized upon learning that won't work. Doesn't work well for her, doesn't work well for the house, doesn't work well for the children. That does not work well for anybody. Somebody could tell him to help her. Somebody could show him how to be an understanding husband, sensible to her needs, providing for her. Somebody could tell him and work through him being overwhelmed and feeling like he is going to sink below the obligations and responsibilities that he now has to provide for a family and a wife and children. Somebody could maybe help him. Oh, I know who could help him. Some older men could help him. You know, God is a God of purpose. This is just not intended to be just academic. Look at verse 5. End of the verse says, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. Why? So that the word of God will not be blasphemed or dishonored. Look at verse 8, after talking about men. Sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Try to imagine a church where the older women have done such a job in teaching, training the young women. Coincidentally, it's the reason that he's not talking about children is because he's talking about people who have children. He's talking about teaching a mother. He's talking about teaching a father or a husband. That's who he's talking about teaching. And he's telling you to teach them if you want to bless the children. If that's what we want to do, if we want to bless the children, then teach the parents. To the end that the word of God is not blasphemed and that those who are of the contrary part will have nothing to say by way of shaming the church. Now, we don't just preach by way of academic study. That's not what we do. We don't just preach to fill time. And so this sermon needs to be applied. And so there's a group of people here. And I hesitate to stand up and say something about the eldership I haven't talked to the other elders about. So I'll refrain from doing that. I will say this, though. Ultimately, the responsibility falls on the elders to head this up. So then either the elders themselves or the elders need by way of delegation. But we need a group of older people to teach these younger husbands and wives that the word of God be not blasphemed. Why older men and older women? Because they're qualified. Older people have lived longer, and so they have experience. Older people have learned more, so they have knowledge. Older people have grown, and so they have wisdom. And so God calls upon those people to teach younger people how to become what they are. Older people are like road guides. They have traveled the road longer. They have experienced more things on the road. They know what's coming. And so they're able, by that knowledge, by that experience, and by that wisdom, to tell young mothers and young fathers what they should do and what they should avoid to get to the other side, so they in turn can do the same thing. Let us not continue to focus so heavily on the children and miss the parents, because God places his focus on the parents so that we'll bless the children. If you're interested in that, and in some capacity willing to help, let me know. Let the elders know. But we must move from missing what the Bible says and then watching young husbands and wives continue to struggle to make it to maturity with a safe, happy, successful marriage that then blesses the lives of their children. Thank you, Trey. Amen. Not a Christian this afternoon, you need to be one. Jamie took a sigh of relief. I didn't go too far in on the elders. I'll talk to you next time these thoughts come on the move. Need to be a Christian. Family, what we need to do is make sure we're striving to do what God wants us to do. And when the Holy Spirit breaks out a section of scripture like this, the church will do nothing but bless herself and her members if we take up the charge and do what God says. What a blessing we'll provide for young couples. Become a Christian if you haven't believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess his name and be immersed in water. Let him save you. What a day it will be when at last our Jesus face we see. Friends, don't miss out on heaven. If you miss heaven, you've missed everything. Don't miss heaven. Come to Jesus. Let him cleanse you in his blood, wash away your sins, set you on a road that leads inevitably to the throne of God. Not a Christian, become one if you are a Christian. If you're a young married couple, maybe you're struggling, do all we can to help you, to do exactly what God wants us to do by you. And may you then be a blessing to each other and to your children. Older people, let's take God's charge seriously and let's do what we can to help and do it the way God has explained it in his word. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.